Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Certainly was an unusual year for the Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns sent to the New York Knicks. And then they pick up Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo. And it was a work in progress much of the year. Some injuries along the way to DiVincenzo and Randle. And finally, the Timberwolves gain their footing, get into the top six, avoid the play-in. And now they're on the brink of eliminating the Golden State Warriors. They could do it tomorrow night at home. And here are the Timberwolves, now with a chance to get back to the Western Conference Finals for the second year in a row. And Kevin Lynch joins us. He's a Timberwolves analyst for FanDuel Sports Network. Kev, good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, Steve. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, how about this weather?
I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like the middle of summer here in May. We're getting spoiled.
You know what's funny about the weather is, like, it's one of the things I like to do when I go down to Florida in the wintertime when it's freezing cold here. Is one thing I like about the weather in Florida, as opposed to, say, Arizona, is I like the humid nights. Like, the humidity warms up the air, you know, like at night Florida someplace, and it's like, you know, 74 degrees and warm, humid air. And because, you know, you go to Palm Springs or Arizona, and they get at night, it's pretty chilly.
Yeah.
But I like some humidity. Now, I don't want it like 95 degrees and 90%. That's ridiculous, but that's hard to be in. But a little bit of humidity, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, no doubt. And then we're getting to the point in some parts of the state really do need the rain. Those fires up north, certainly scary. And it looks like we may get some on Thursday, and it's going to cool down a little bit. You know, I get outside in the real hot, humid stuff, and I just want to come back in and watch golf on TV. I want to shut down.
Yeah, no, you got to admit, though, May and September are typically fabulous months.
Yeah, and it just unusually warm again today. Yeah. Timberwolves. Here they are on the brink. Now, the Golden State Warriors don't have Steph Curry, and we'll have more on the series specifically. But here we are, and for the second year in a row, the Timberwolves have a chance to go to the conference finals and make it to the final four teams alive in the NBA. That's pretty darn good, considering where this franchise had been for so long.
Yeah.
You know, wandering in the wilderness, just really struggling, never able to get their footing. And now, you know, it's a chance to go to the conference finals 2 years in a row. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's, yeah, talk about, you know, a losing franchise for many years. And then you had Garnett coming, and he played great here, obviously. We all know that. And so they had some good years there, too, as far as making the playoffs. But, no, we got to appreciate this. You know, there's, you know, with you know, the Gopher men's team, you know, at times struggling to win, have winning seasons, and the Timberwolves, you know, for a long time not, you know, being one of the bottom teams in the NBA. You know, people forget that this is a really healthy basketball state, but when the Wolves are losing and the Gophers aren't doing very well, and, you know, I know the Lynx have done a nice job for the most part, but, you know, people forget that basketball is really popular in this state, and there's a ton of high school talent being pumped out basically every year. A lot of people don't know that, but it's so when the Wolves are winning and they're one of the top teams in this league, and they're going to have a chance to get to the West Finals, and who knows who they play, but they're going to have a chance to go even deeper than that, hopefully. So that's good for the sport of basketball in this state.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that are kind of like, well, the Timberwolves caught a break and Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly one of those where actually I would have preferred Steph Curry to be available and the Timberwolves beat Golden State and the great Steph Curry and advance to the conference finals. Now, injuries happen, and the Timberwolves have a chance to win it in five tomorrow night at home at Target Center. And I get the feeling it's imperative because there's talk that Curry could return as soon as the game six. There's a layoff between five and six. It wouldn't play again until Sunday if the Warriors are able to keep the series alive. And then you get Curry back, and you never know because, once again, he's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, and you put so much focus on, let's just say he comes back in game six or seven or whatever, and if it gets to that point, and then you focus on him, and then that opens up things for his teammates. And so I don't think you want to mess with that. You got to try to finish this at home, tomorrow. And the problem is, as you know, Steve, you've followed the Wolves. This entire season has been so up and down for the Wolves. Now, basically from March, early March up until now, they've played way better. But they're just a team that can, when the Timberwolves are at their best, they can beat any team in this league in the opponent's building. But at the same time, they also can play so poorly that, like in game one against Golden State at home, it reminded me of like October and November. That was one of their worst games of the season in the first game of a second round in the playoffs at home. And you'd lay an egg like that. It was embarrassing almost watching that game. But so you don't know what you're going to get with the Wolves, and hopefully, starting tomorrow night, they can finish the series and get ready for whoever's next and kind of tap into that consistency that's kind of been lacking most of the season. So if they can do that, Steve, this Wolves team is good enough, talented enough, and deep enough to get to the NBA Finals. And if that would happen, the state would explode.
Yeah. Tough ticket already at Target Center. A lot of excitement around the team. Yeah, you're right. That game one, because Curry went out relatively early, there was still a lot of game. And the Timberwolves, what's been really refreshing is with the game on the line, like for instance last night, they just absolutely dominated that third quarter and blew out Golden State. And even though Golden State had a pretty good fourth quarter, I think the game was decided. But there are other stretches where they have played poorly at times, but have still been able to respond late, and that speaks to what you said. I felt in that Lakers series, they just had a lot more depth. The Lakers have LeBron James, obviously, and Luka Doncic, and then, they had, other guys. I mean, they're NBA players, don't get me wrong. I mean, you're not a very good player and be on an NBA roster, but not the depth of the Timberwolves.
No, that's why when the Wolves matched up with the Lakers in that first round, I thought, okay, I like this, because the Lakers, all the hype with the trade back in February and Doncic and especially what Doncic did to the Wolves last spring, That this Laker team this year is not Dallas from last year, and I thought Wolves can win this series. Well, they, like you said, they kind of dominated. Not a lot of depth. They're a very top heavy team. You got a couple really good or great players. Then after that, it sinks pretty quickly. And it's kind of the same thing with Golden State. Top heavy, Butler now, and then Curry. Then Curry's out, but if the Wolves, whoever they play next, let's just say it's the Thunder in the West Finals, that will change, because that's a deep team, a young team, a talented team. And if you don't go into that series, if the Wolves get there, and you don't play consistently well, you're going to have very little shot to advance to the NBA championship. So, but the two matchups, the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, I think the Wolves are the better team, and they proved it. They've been the better team in this series, and for sure they were in the Lakers series.
Yeah, so outside of game one, Ant's been good, but Julius Randle has been huge.
Great. No, he's been their best player. I mean, look at Edwards has been up and down. Gobert, really, I mean, except for game five against the Lakers, you know, Rudy was great. But, God, Julius has been just, he's been really good and consistent. And Jaden McDaniels has shot the ball well. That's been encouraging to see. And Edwards was explosive at times in these two series. But, yeah, no, Randle, Steve, has been really good. It's been fun to watch. He just looks so confident shooting the ball and everything else as well. Just kind of running the team offensively, just initiating. That's been one of the great coaching decisions, in my opinion, with this team this year. The first couple months of the season, they isolated Randle, put him in the post, and just kind of tried to make him a scorer, and that just wasn't working. And then when Finch, like in December, January, started to just kind of inverted the floor and took Randle, and he kind of initiated the offense and stayed on the perimeter a bit more. That took the pressure off him, and he played better after that. And then when he came back from the injury in March, he's played really well, and it's been great to see him play like this right at the end of the season.
Yeah, another guy that I think deserves a lot of credit, this team going to the conference finals, and once again, he's been around a long, long time, is Mike Conley, and maybe doesn't game in, game out, you know, while you with the scoring or the assist totals and that sort of thing. But I get the sense as an observer that he's just such a calming influence, that he has such great influence over all those players and has so much respect around the NBA that having Conley around has been huge for Anthony Edwards and everybody else.
What is Finch? Chris Finch likes to call him the adult in the room. You know, the guy who, you know, he's kind of in between a coach and a player. And yeah, his words carry some weight. These guys all listen to him, look up to him. And it was a little frustrating at the very end of the game last night when, man, the Wolves are like falling to pieces. The, you know, Warriors just didn't have enough time to, what, they cut it to seven or whatever it was. And I was like, God, get Conley in there to kind of settle everybody down. And but yeah, his voice, he's still a good player, and his maturity, and for that matter, Rudy Gobert's maturity too. I know Chris Finch, you know, Rudy can sometimes frustrate, you know, just can't catch and you know, he'll struggle moving around when teams are playing small and fast. But I know Finch loves the maturity of Conley, the point guard, and Gobert as well too. So it's you know, it's moments like this where you start getting into mid May, late May, early June. You got to rely on those guys like Gobert and the veterans and Conley and others to kind of lead you, and they've done a nice job, those two in particular.
Kevin Lynch joining us, FanDuel Sports Network, Timberwolves analyst on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. A couple of thoughts on the playoffs. They're underway tonight. I'm a little bit surprised. Indiana, they're right back in the game now. Cleveland had a big lead early. They're trying to stay alive. 56-52, Cavs over the Pacers. Indiana up 3-1 in that series. That may be the biggest surprise so far in the playoffs, how the Pacers are going.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and some of this run that the Pacers have been on, Steve, I'd have to go back and look at the schedule, but Indiana came late into the season into Target Center. They had four of their five starters, didn't even play that night. I don't know if you remember this game. I don't know if it was like maybe a couple months ago, 2.5 months ago, something like that. February, early March, and with basically all bench guys, they came storming back.
Oh yeah,
and hit a last second shot, I think, or something. It was real dramatic at the end and beat Minnesota. And then the Wolves go to Indiana less than a week later. You know, you play the Pacers just twice during the season, and the Pacers just hand it to the Wolves. And I don't know, and they've just been on a run ever since. And I kind of thought they might hit the playoffs, and then, you know, come down to reality a little bit, but man, they have been just on a roll, Indiana has, and they just jump on Cleveland and win both games in Cleveland to start the series. Cleveland had the best record in the NBA in the regular season, so that Indiana team, man, if it's like Indiana and New York, that would be an interesting Eastern Conference Finals. But, yeah, that team is just they're in sync right now.
Yeah, and then Knicks, Celtics, just the horrid news on the Achilles for Jason Tatum. I mean, that's just brutal injury. And the Celtics down 3-1. And then on the flip side for the Knicks, Jalen Brunson. He's got to be the playoff MVP to this moment.
Yeah, he's such a when I watch him play, he's lefty, which makes it kind of weird trying to corral him or whatever. But then he's so herky jerky. He's a good example. A lot of young basketball players, he's not a guy that's like a Russell Westbrook or a Derrick Rose, just, dunking on you and just jumping all over quickness and speed and all that kind of stuff. You know, most young kids, they can play if they really watch. They should watch a guy like Brunson instead of some of these really ultra athletic point guards. I mean, he's just crafty, understands positioning, really good shooter, outside shooter, and knows how to draw fouls. He's just hard to stop. And you look at him, he's 6'1", 6'2". He's not a massive point guard, but he just understands how to play and he's got a toughness to him. Went to Villanova. And Tom Thibodeau, he must like those Villanova Wildcats because he's stockpiling them in New York.
Yeah, Brunson's just been huge. And if they're able to seal the deal, it's going to be tough for the Celtics to come back, obviously, with Tatum out with the Achilles injury. And then one other thought, you can't make it up, the NBA draft lottery and how that went down and the kid from Duke, Cooper Flagg, headed for the Mavericks, of all things. That's wild.
I heard you guys talking beforehand about, I've always kind of thought that back in 85 when Ewing
came out. Yeah, the Ewing thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, we're going to do the ping pong balls in the back room, and then we'll come out and...
right.
Then we're going to come out and let everybody know how it turns out. People ask me, it's like, oh, it's so rigged. I was like, I don't know. I really don't know what's going on with all that stuff. I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it, worrying about it. But I am glad the kid looks like he's going to be in the Western Conference. So, if he's going to be with Dallas, it'll be more fun watching him three or four times a season than just two times if he was in the East. So,
yeah.
And I tell you what, after that big trade with Doncic and Anthony Davis, if Dallas – ever gets healthy with Kyrie Irving and Davis and the rest of those big guys, now you got this kid coming in that apparently is going to be a really good NBA player. If things go right and they stay healthy, tell you what, Dallas is going to be a handful the next couple of years. But that's a big if they can stay healthy.
Yeah, and for Davis, and I wanted to get one other thought. The Timberwolves dispatched Doncic, and I wanted to ask you about it. Is it one of those things where Luka Doncic, he's still a young guy. I mean, where maybe he can learn something about fitness and taking care of his body, because that's been one of the criticisms of Luka Doncic from LeBron James, because, LeBron James, it's still a marvel. I mean, this guy's got a lot of NBA miles on him, and he's still in peak physical condition. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, did LeBron kind of criticize and bring that up as far as Doncic and his fitness?
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, that that's been a knock on Doncic in his career to this point. I don't know if LeBron said anything. Maybe he has. But the point being is, here's LeBron, who's just the model of taking care of his body and preparing for the season and staying in shape in season and getting ready for every game. It's a marvel. And does Doncic need more of that? I'm just asking you. I don't know if LeBron's ripped him at all, but in this case,
it'll do him some good for sure. I mean, look at Zion Williamson with New Orleans. I mean, it's like there's a guy that's had even more issues, and he's going to continue. If I'm Zion Williamson, Steve, I save this money I'm making, because he might be one of those guys where he hits like 10, 12 years in the NBA and he has not taken care of himself and he's been injured a lot, and he has a chance to just balloon up and be huge, and his knees are going to be shot and he's got nothing left. And I'm not saying Doncic is going to be like Zion Williamson, but when you're given a body like Williamson or Doncic, you got to be a little bit careful. I mean, those, like, Doncic can blow up too. So keep your weight down and do what you have to do. And yeah, look at your teammate LeBron James and watch what he's doing. Diet. You got the money to spend on everything, so that shouldn't be a something that's going to prevent you from getting in great shape. But if Doncic can get in great shape and keep his weight low, you know, the guy can play 15 or 20 years and make a ton of dough.
Yeah, avoid the In-N-Out drive-through if you can.
Yeah,
when you're out there. I'll
take care of that, Luca. You get and do your nutrition and your workouts, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Kev, always good. Thanks.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Steve. Good to talk to you.
There he is, Kevin Lynch, FanDuel Timberwolves analyst, joining us. Wolves and Warriors tomorrow night. Wolves can close them out in five with a win at Target Center. Quick break. More of the Lake Show. Steve in for Henry. Josh Wheeler, our producer tonight here on CCO. Steve Thompson in for Henry Lake. And we have Josh Wheeler in for Chris Tubbs tonight. Twins rained out in Baltimore. Game one of the three-game set. They'll play an old-school doubleheader tomorrow. Lineup card at 10:30. First pitch at 11 of game one, Bailey Ober. And then game two is Simeon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Woods Richardson as the Twins try and continue the streak against the Birds. All right, Josh, bite of the night, what do you got?
All right, so I have this little audio clip from a show called Get Up this morning. Each and every morning, Mike Greenberg leads the way on ESPN, talking the biggest stories in sports, and he had this to say about tanking in sports.
The Utah Jazz got the fifth pick last night. That means that the team with the worst record has now not selected first overall in seven straight seasons, coinciding with the start of the new lottery format. So when Adam Silver changed around, tweaked a few things there, he did it, and he came on the show and talked about it because he recognizes, as should every sports fan, tanking is a scourge. Tanking is a disgrace. Tanking runs contrary to literally everything sports is designed to be. I would absolutely be in favor of the NFL going to some sort of draft lottery so you stop with the tanking, which is the worst thing in sports.
You add
hard to disagree with Greeny.
Yeah.
On this. I think it's a ripoff for fans in any of these cities that aren't trying to be competitive. Now I understand there are certain circumstances where injuries, your roster gets old, you got to turn it over, and not necessarily tank, but rebuild. And if you're up front with the fans and say, hey, this is our plan going forward, but with the idea that it's just you're flat out going to tank, you're going to take their money and waste their time for a year or two with the idea that you're going to somehow get the number one overall pick and it's going to change everything. I couldn't agree more with that. I think you have to change it up and make this more of a roll of the dice. That being epically bad, you know, in the NBA, 10-70 or 10-72 bad doesn't necessarily pay dividends.
Yeah. I've ever since I was a kid, and even today, constantly, whenever I, because I'm around this environment, the radio environment, so much that I hear the term tanking, and it always just blows my mind at the idea of, okay, we are going to lose games and try our hardest to not have a good end result for the season in order to possibly get a top pick, which, by the way, could very well not pan out, and we've seen how many times that has not has happened compared to not happened in the world of sports. So you're tanking for essentially a gamble, and it always has blown my mind that teams and even fan bases are like, oh, we should be tanking. Are you out of your mind? You're losing so much revenue by just playing so poorly. I mean, I understand you're still going to make money despite yourselves as owners and as organizations, but your team is literally going to lose revenue by tanking in the future. And and like you said, you're kind of screwing everybody over. Even if you are being frontal about it, it's still kind of one of those rough situations where I've never understood the idea or the purpose of it. I get it, but also, like I said, you're tanking for a gamble at a draft pick.
Well, and here's the thing. In the NFL, there's 32 teams. X amount are going to get to the playoffs. And in reality, there's a handful of teams, maybe a little more than that in the NFL, for example, that have a chance to win the Lombardi and win the Super Bowl. But I also think, though, that if you're going to be bad, without tanking and trying to lose games, whether it's the NBA or the NHL or the NFL, Major League Baseball, a little bit different because the draft is even more uncertain. I think in the NHL, the draft, there's very few can't-miss Connor McDavid types that come out. And I know there are examples, but it's not every year there's a guy in the draft where it's like he is a guaranteed superstar. But in the NBA, in the NFL in particular, I think it is possible to tell your fan base, hey, we know we're not very good, but say, here's our plan and here's what we're going to do, without this idea of just flat-out tanking and resting guys and making up injuries and running out G League guys. I think they've got to do something to fix that. Now in the NBA, it still happens. There's bad teams in the NBA, and there's teams that don't try. But at least the lottery, whether you believe it's on the up and up or not, you know, hopefully takes a little bit of that away. And I'd be fine with that in the NFL, honestly, if they went to some sort of lottery. Why not? Why not? Not a bad idea. Yeah. 7:34 here at News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll have the weather in a moment. Still a lot more ground to cover here on the Lake Show tonight. Twins were rained out, and we still have some good guests. Speaking of the Vikings in the NFL, they'll play two games in a row across the pond. They'll be in Ireland. They'll be in Dublin. They'll be in London, England as well. We'll tell you about that. And the PGA Championship tees it up Thursday at Quail Hollow in Charlotte. And the pairings have been announced. The odds have been announced for the second major of the year. U.S. Open, of course, in June, and the British Open in July. We'll do that. Headlines as well here on CCO. It is the Lake Show. Stephen for Henry. Twins rained out in Baltimore. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. Here's the lay of the land. Lineup card at 10:30. So Adam and Jordana's show abbreviated. They're out at 10:30. Lineup card at 10:30. Game one at 11 our time. It'll be Bailey Ober on the mound against the Orioles. And then game two is Simeon Woods Richardson, who was scheduled to start today, will go in game two. And then getaway day on Thursday. But there is rain in the forecast tomorrow in Baltimore, but it's been raining all day and expected to rain through the night at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. So hopefully they can squeeze in this series and the Twins can stay hot in the American League Central Division. They are definitely playing well right now. The Minnesota Vikings in the news today. It is extraordinary how the NFL does it. Don't they have the big schedule reveal coming up, Josh? I thought tomorrow. That was in. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have a problem with that. I think the NFL needs to just take a break with having every single section of the year. Like, just release it. Give us a break from football for a couple months. We already have to deal with the UFL and all this other stuff during the summer. Just take a breather. We'll talk to you back in July and August. Let us breathe for a few months. We don't need these big, huge, oh, this day is we're going to reveal the schedule. This day we're going to reveal international games. Nobody cares. Just let us know what the schedule is. We'll plan out our itinerary, and then we'll talk to you again in a few months. Just give us a break for a little bit. Give
not
going to
do it. They're not going to do it. But I will say this. You brought up the UFL. Nothing makes me dive for my TV remote. I mean flat out dive for my remote than the UFL or Joel Osteen. Those are the two where I'm like, where's the remote?
Yeah, it's pretty. I even change the channel when it's on here on Sundays when I'm here with Mr. Shock doing the news. Even he asked me to change the channel. I'm like, don't have to ask me twice.
Yeah, seriously, who's watching that?
Yeah.
The Vikes are going to play two in a row on the road. The first team in NFL history. Apparently, they're going to build a wing in Canton to commemorate this. I'm kidding. The Vikes will play the Steelers in Dublin on September 28th, marking the league's first regular season game in Ireland. And then the Vikes travel to England, where they'll place the Browns at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on October 5th. So they're going to be across the pond. They'll get there. They'll settle in. I don't know what the version is of TUCO Performance Center in Ireland, but I would assume there's going to be somewhere they can work out and train. That they have soccer clubs, etc., and the NFL's got all that worked out. Here's the thing, though. How does the NFL make more money on this than just playing the games in the home stadiums? I've not understood how this is making them more money. I know they're trying to grow the game and maybe sell jerseys and that other stuff, but I would assume the ticket sales for a Steelers game or a Browns game or a Viking home game, that they're not charging that much more in Dublin or that much more in London. And the TV money, I would assume, doesn't change. I would assume television has more expense getting crew, etc., across the pond to cover these games. So I've never understood that growing the game thing, but here we are. So yeah. We learned that today.
Yeah, but long ago we had this thing, Steve, called NFL Europe.
Yeah, I remember.
It ceased to exist as of 2007, and I remember it very well. And I think they're trying to revitalize the NFL fan base in Europe as if it's not already pretty big over there. I mean, I understand soccer. They're not going to be able to compete with soccer, and I kind of secretly think that they are thinking that they can compete with soccer as the main sport over there. But who am I to judge? I think it costs a lot of money to have this stuff constantly overseas. We used to only have a couple games, if not one game overseas. Now we have about, 5 or 6 weeks out of the season where we have an overseas game, and it's kind of annoying.
Well, and it's at a good time of the year, in my opinion, as a Viking fan, because the vast majority of Viking fans are not going to be in Dublin or in London for the games. We're all just going to get up early and watch a football game. But in late September or early October, if the weather's good, I'm not sitting in and watching a three-hour football game. Yeah. I'm not, if the weather's good, because the inevitability of late fall and early winter is like, I'm going to be outside. I have chores to do. I'd rather sit outside. I'm not going to spend 3 hours on a gorgeous Sunday. So at least the games are early. So for the vast majority of Viking fans, you get up early. I'm not going to encourage people to skip church, but that's an option. And watch football games, but I've just never understood the money part of it, because I think the NFL most of their decisions are around making more money. I just don't see how they make more money doing these games in Dublin or London, but yeah. It remains to be seen. And once again, the big schedule reveal is tomorrow. I wonder if there are people that take the day off from work for the schedule reveal, or is this now some sort of prime time extravaganza?
Oh, I'm sure the travel agencies and stuff will be in full force tomorrow, because that's when everybody's going to start planning out their trips.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When is my team going to be in Vegas?
Yeah, correct.
Is what I yes. what I want to know.
Yeah.
All right, 7:46. We got to do headlines. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll do headlines in a moment. All the news, all the weather at 8. Stephen Clark, Ars Technica, following the news and weather at 8. Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic will talk a little motorsports and NASCAR at 8:35 tonight. Twins rained out in Baltimore. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow beginning at 10:30 here. News Talk, 830 WCCO. All right, typically it's Henry Lake and Chris Tubbs tonight. You got Steve Thompson, Josh Wheeler. All right, Josh, headlines, fire away.
Yeah, Steve. So apparently it appears that Amazon will be getting help from FedEx amid recent UPS layoffs. According to an internal document cited by Business Insider, a deal penned with FedEx this February gives Amazon, quote, cost favorability compared to UPS. However, Reuters noted the deal will not replace UPS. Instead, FedEx will join its third-party partner roster and, quote, work alongside its own last-mile delivery network. They also reported that Amazon said Monday that it had hired FedEx to handle some large package deliveries. This coming after UPS had announced they planned to lay off 20,000 employees during its first quarter earnings call, as well as 73 facilities closing down. Supposedly, the partnership will last through 2026. Steve, could we be seeing a slow decline, I should say, and possibly the beginning of the end for UPS?
No. I think all of that stuff is too big and too important.
Yeah.
When you have the United States Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, you know, the big freight haulers and deliver all the packages and all the mail, et cetera. I just think it's too important and too valuable, and I think there's room in the marketplace for all three. I really do. That it's just too important, especially in the rural areas that rely on the United States Postal Service, and then, of course, the big players as well, UPS and FedEx. Yeah. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they were just trying to adjust to the uncertainty of the tariffs.
Yeah, they're trimming the fat, basically.
I think it'll bounce back.
Yeah. Wildfires, of course, continue to burn in northeastern Minnesota, specifically the Arrowhead Township, just northwest of Duluth and Superior. So far, zero containment has been reported as the scorching hot weather has been blasting through the state through the first half of this week. Crews continue to battle the fires as over 20,000 acres have been burning. Steve, have you taken the proper steps to maintain your yard so it does not heat up as well?
Well, yeah, I'm putting water down.
Yeah.
I am watering the turf. But you feel for any of these areas of the country, mm-hmm. and particularly when it's in our backyard, that are dealing with fire, and then particularly the red flag warnings that are up again. The good news is that rain is in the forecast, particularly for up north in the Arrowhead, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, and a cool down. As a matter of fact, that part of the state could see rainy weather through the weekend, and they really need the cool down, and they really need the moisture and get some relief on those fires.
Next up, I don't know, Steve, if you heard that we do have Katy Perry in concert in town here tonight at just up the street at Target Center. We're kind of beginning the concert season, the summer of concerts, if you will. As we slowly start to warm up, and there's a music fest coming to Huntington Bank Stadium on June 20th. It is the 40th anniversary of Farm Fest, and it'll feature legendary acts such as Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, Even one of our own, Trampled by Turtles, and Dave Matthews.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Among other huge names featured at this, it's about, I'm assuming, probably four songs per artist, because there's a good amount of artists that are going to be there. But it's a huge festival, and I guess I've never heard of this farm aid concert.
It started years ago, the farm crisis. I think the first show was in Illinois at the University of Illinois, maybe in Champaign, if memory serves. But Farm Aid was really a big deal, and that's quite a lineup of some big-time talent. And Huntington Bank Stadium's a great venue. I saw you two there. Yeah. Great outdoor concert venue.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, my wife and daughter went to Beyonce at Huntington Bank Stadium.
Why didn't you go?
I didn't have a ticket. And I'm bummed I didn't go, because I went to see the Beyonce concert film. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
The Renaissance Tour concert film, extraordinary.
Do any of the artists that I listed off stick out to you as someone you might buy a ticket to?
Oh, yeah, Neil Young, Willie Nelson. Yeah. John Mellencamp, they're all legends. I'd love to see it.
The real question is, will we see John Cougar? Will we see John Cougar Mellencamp? Will we see John Mellencamp? Which one are we going to get?
Yeah, I remember when it was just flat out John Cougar.
Yes.
And then it was John Cougar Mellencamp, and then he dropped that. I remember years ago when I was doing Gopher games for a couple of years on the road, Dave Lee was doing home games. I did a game in Bloomington at Assembly Hall, and John Mellencamp was at the game. He's a huge Indiana Hoosiers fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at the game. That was very cool.
And
very
cool. We do have about 1 minute left, so I will leave you with this, Steve, as we wrap up. And I'm not sure if maybe Kevin mentioned it, but Steph Curry has officially confirmed he will not be in Game 5 tomorrow night.
So the Timberwolves need to finish. I don't think you want to let the Warriors back in this series.
Yeah.
And if they are able to win tomorrow night at Target Center, then Curry looms potentially for Game 6 in San Francisco. And when you have one of the all-time greats who could come back and add to his legend, I'd be concerned about that. Wolves need to seal the deal tomorrow night at Target Center. And what are we thinking, 8:50, maybe 9 o'clock tomorrow night? They say 8:30, no way.
Yeah,
all right, we got to run.
50. Yep.
Yeah. We have the news and weather in a moment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.